Amen. As we get ready to move into a few moments of wisdom from the Word, from a preacher that is now with the Lord, but he has something to say directly, distinctly about the kind of prayer that it's going to take to bring the revival that we so desperately need tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song of praise before the Lord. It's a song we're learning, and this will be, I think, the second time we've sung it. Praise the Lord. So let's sing it before the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You can be seated if you want, or stand, or just whatever makes you feel comfortable tonight.
We will remember. We will remember. We will remember the works of your hands.
Everyone.
And we will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness.
Everybody sing yes.
We will remember.
Sing it!
We will remember.
great is his faithfulness. David Wilkerson is with the Lord now, but he left a legacy of passion for the things of God. And there's about 10 minutes of an excerpt from a message called A Call to Anguish. And anguish is not a negative thing. If you can look at the world about us and all the people that are lost and not have your heart feel that, then you're not walking in the Spirit. And the heart of God is not, you're not in sync with the heart of God. I want you to know God's heart is broken over what he's looking at. The church today, it's amazing. There are people that would not believe the compromise that's in the Church of Jesus Christ today. They wouldn't believe the false doctrine that's all around us. But a world church is forming, and prophetically speaking, these things have to happen for it to form. There has to be a falling away. That day shall not come until there is a falling away first. It was the Greek word used for divorce, for the removing of a stand once taken, the violating of a covenant once made. And that falling away is here right now. The Bible is no longer the authority. The culture is dictating what the church decides is sin and is not sin. And the Scripture is no longer the authority, and there's no fear of the Lord. The Bible said of those who walked in abject rebellion before God in the Old Testament, it said that there is no fear of the Lord before their eyes. They don't fear God, and if they don't fear God, then they're not going to revere a minister, a servant of God, and they're not going to revere the Word of God. And they're simply going to pick and choose the parts that they want to accept, and they're going to reject without fear the parts they do not want to receive. But there's a stern warning in the Old and New Testament about the same thing, the taking from or the adding to the Word of God. And ministers take from it when they refuse to preach what they know is in it. And the reason they won't tell the whole truth is they're success-oriented in terms of how many people come and how their building fund is going, rather than spiritually oriented, concerned about where people are going to spend eternity. Because I remember the story that came out of England. As a matter of fact, a man was scheduled to be hanged, and a priest who was paid to come and give people their last rites. It could have been a Protestant minister. I'm not picking on the Catholics tonight, though we have some major issues doctrinally. But I'm not picking out or picking on. I'm saying there are Protestant ministers that are in it for the wrong reasons as well. And so he came to give him his last rites, and he said, "I don't want any last rites. I don't believe what you're saying about a heaven above or a hell beneath. I believe when you're dead, you're done." But he said, "If I did believe..." See, this dispassionate guy was doing this as a job without real compassion for the soul and where it spends eternity. And people pick up on that. They know when it's a professional thing rather than a passion in your heart. And he said, "If I really believed that there was a place of torment where you would spend forever, that your Bible describes," he said, "I would cross England. An England of cut glass, on my hands and knees, to tell one man not to go there, to give him the gospel." When the gospel is ministered without passion, without compassion, without anguish of heart, if you can look and see our children going the way of the world and it doesn't bother you, then something is terribly wrong in your spiritual walk. If you can be perfectly satisfied to go through a year and never touch a life, that your life never touched, I don't mean somebody got saved, I'm just mean that you never shared Christ, then something is desperately wrong. Amen. We need the weeping prophet back. We need the Jeremiah who said, I see what's coming. I see what's about to happen. And oh, that he said, my tears over Israel causes my bed to swim. And make no mistake about it. When you get the heart of God, amen, there will be this kind of feeling. My wife was praying this morning about herself and about the condition of churches and about the condition of the world. And there was anguish. There's a feeling that, oh God, we need you. We're desperate for you. We can't just have a regular everyday church service with all of this going on. And we will not, I repeat, we will not see revival until we begin to get anguish in our hearts over the conditions around us enough to lay hold on God. That's exactly what Isaiah 64, one of our texts that we used to pray. Isaiah 64, verse 1 and 2. Oh, that thou would rend the heavens and come down and make thy name known among the nations. You'd come down on the mountains, cause the mountains to melt and melt down into the waters and call the waters to boil. He's saying we're going through all of our religious ritual, but there's no manifestation of the presence of God. And we desperately need God to manifest himself. And then verse 7 tells why God wasn't doing it. And it wasn't a dispensational issue. Amen. It was one thing. It was singular. And no man stirs himself up to lay hold on thee. No one was concerned about the sin. No one's concerned about the compromise. No one's concerned about the lost condition or the judgment that was surely coming to Israel. Amen. But Jeremiah was concerned. And he said, what I see is breaking my heart. It's cause, and he said it would have got him down. And see, I want to balance this tonight, because Lamentations is Jeremiah lamenting that no one had listened to his preaching. And they were going to be led off captivity into Babylon as a chastisement. But let me tell you something. He said, when I consider the wormwood and I consider the gall, the bitterness, my soul is humbled. Crushed is the Hebrew word within me. But this I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness in a particular area to show mercy. When people turn back to you, you return to them. And even though it looks so hopeless, if it wasn't for that hope that he could hold on to, he said, I would have just been so depressed, I would have give up, and I wouldn't have looked for any good to come to this covenant people. But he said, I still believe in revival. Can you say amen? Everybody say, I still believe in revival. Hallelujah. Why? Because his mercies are new every morning. Where sin doth abound, his grace doth superabound, hyperabound. So I still believe in a merciful God. He's going to hear our prayer tonight. But I want to pray out of a heart of anguish. Can you say amen? Because if we get the heart of God, that's how we'll pray. Hallelujah. So get ready to pray tonight. Hallelujah.
And I look at the whole religious scene today, and all I see are the inventions and ministries of man and flesh. It's mostly powerless. It has no impact on the world. And I see more of the world coming into the church and impacting the church rather than the church impacting the world. I see the music taking over the house of God. I see entertainment taking over the house of God. An obsession with entertainment in God's house, a hatred of correction and a hatred of reproof. Nobody wants to hear it anymore. Whatever happened to anguish in the house of God? Whatever happened to anguish in the ministry? It's a word you don't hear in this pampered age. You don't hear it. Anguish means extreme pain and distress. The emotion so stirred that it becomes painful, acute, deeply felt inner pain because of conditions about you, in you or around you. Anguish, deep pain, deep sorrow, agony of God's heart. We've held on to our religious rhetoric and our revival talk, but we've become so passive. All true passion is born out of anguish. All true passion for Christ comes out of a baptism of anguish. You search the scripture and you'll find that when God determined to recover a ruined situation, he would share his own anguish for what God saw happening to his church and to his people. And he would find a praying man and he would take that man and literally baptize him in anguish. You find it in the book of Nehemiah. Jerusalem is in ruins. How is God going to deal with this? How is God going to restore the ruin? Now folks, look at me. Nehemiah was not a preacher. He was a career man. But this was a praying man. And God found a man who would not just have a flash of emotion, not just some great sudden burst of concern and then let it die. He said, no, I broke down and I wept and I mourned and I fasted. And then I began to pray night and day. Why didn't these other men, why didn't they have an answer? Why didn't God use them in restoration? Why didn't they have a word? Because there was no sign of anguish. No weeping. Not a word of prayer. It's all ruin. Does it matter to you today? Does it matter to you at all that God's spiritual Jerusalem, the church, is now married to the world? That there's such a coldness sweeping the land? Closer than that, does it matter about the Jerusalem that's in our own hearts? The sign of ruin that's slowly draining spiritual power and passion? Blind to lukewarmness? Blind to the mixture that's creeping in? That's all the devil wants to do is get the fight out of you and kill it. So you won't labor in prayer anymore. You won't weep before God anymore. You can sit and watch television and your family go to hell. Let me ask you, is what I just said convicted you at all? There's a great difference between anguish and concern. Concern is something that begins to interest you. You take an interest in a project or a cause or a concern or a need. I'm going to tell you something I've learned over all my years, 50 years of preaching. If it is not born in anguish, if it has not been born by the Holy Spirit, where when you saw and heard of the ruin, it drove you to your knees, took you down into a baptism of anguish where you began to pray and seek God. I know now. Oh my God, do I know it. Until I'm in agony. Until I have been anguished over it. And all our projects, all our ministries, everything we do. Where are the Sunday school teachers that weep over kids they know are not hearing and they're going to hell? You see, a true prayer life begins at the place of anguish. You see, if you set your heart to pray, God's going to come and start sharing your heart, his heart with you. Your heart begins to cry out, oh God, your name is being blasphemed. Holy Spirit's being mocked. The enemy is out trying to destroy the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness and something has to be done. There's going to be no renewal, no revival, no awakening until we're willing to let him once again break us. Folks, it's getting late and it's getting serious. Please don't tell me you're concerned when you're spending hours in front of internet or television. Come on. Lord, there's somebody to get this altar and confess. I am not what I was. I am not where I'm supposed to be. God, I don't have your heart or your burden. I wanted it easy. Didn't want to be happy. But Lord, true joy comes. True joy comes out of anguish. There's nothing of the flesh will give you joy. I don't care how much money, I don't care what kind of new house there is. Absolutely nothing physical could give you joy. It's only what is accomplished by the Holy Spirit when you obey Him and take on His heart. Build the walls around your family. Build the walls around your own heart. Make you strong and impregnable against the enemy. God, that's what we desire.
This is kind of funny. I saw an ambulance. Actually, not an ambulance. I saw a hearse pull up to a house across the way from where I live. Very private people. I really never got to meet them, know them. Best I could do is throw up my hand, and sometimes they wouldn't acknowledge that I even tried to make a gesture of friendship to them. Just across the way, but one morning we got up, and there's a hearse at the house because the man had had a sudden heart attack, and he's out of this world. And I immediately thought, I wonder how it is and how it was with his soul. And I wonder where his soul is going to spend eternity. I wonder about that. It gave me pause. It made me stop and think, did I pray for my community that I live in? Did I really anguish about anybody's destiny in that community? Or was I too busy mowing my yard, fixing my plants, at that time going to work, taking care of this, taking care of that, doing this, doing that? Was there any opportunity for the Holy Spirit to let me feel what He did? Jesus stood and He looked in the book of Matthew. It says He stood on a hill overlooking the city. And He saw people. And He saw them in a different way. They were going about their daily affairs with no concerns about eternity. But He was concerned because He knows everybody is headed somewhere forever. Everybody is headed somewhere forever. And He anguished. He was passionate. The Bible said He was moved with compassion because He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. There's a lot of animals. There's a lone wolf. There may be a lone bear that survives in the forest. But I'm going to tell you something that cannot survive without a shepherd. A sheep cannot survive without a shepherd. If a predator doesn't kill him, he will fall over on his back and not be able to right himself. It's called a cast sheep. And the weight of his wool, he'll go to get a drink of water. And if his wool hasn't been shorn yet, the wool will wick it up and soak it up, and he'll fall headfirst into the stream. He will walk over to a precipice and fall off, trying to graze up next to the hen without the shepherd taking that hooked shepherd's staff and pulling him back in. And he said, every one of these people are doomed. Every one of these people are damned. The wrath of God abides on them. And then he turned to his disciples and he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the field. But the harvest is plenteous. But the reapers, the laborers, it's only a handful of people that care about anybody's soul. My job deacons would enter into the dirty jokes with everybody else till their testimony was made of none effect. They didn't care about their soul. They cared about the church budget, the next pastor. They cared about the concerns of running the church, but they didn't care about God's harvest. They couldn't even be a witness on the job for Jesus Christ. No compassion. People going to hell and no one to care. I said, Lord, I haven't prayed for this community like I needed to. And there's a hearse and there's a soul. And wherever it's going to live there forever and forever. Oh God, I've walked my dogs many a night around this community. You know what I could have been doing while walking those dogs? I could have been interceding. God, these people don't know you. Many of them don't even want to know you. But you know them. And you love them. And you gave your son to die for them. Oh God, convict them. Lord, convince them of their lost condition and their need for a Savior. I don't know if you feel what I feel tonight, but I've been feeling conviction about. I didn't see that until today. I was just looking for something, amen, about intercessory prayer, and came across that. I hadn't heard it till today, seen it till today. That is not what stirred me up. I was stirred, amen, to find something tonight to cause our hearts to be filled with His passion. Amen. If it does, we will begin to seek the Lord, and we'll begin to intercede for others, and God will begin to move. My dad, anguished about my lost condition, to the exclusion of his own healing, and to this day, he has stomach problems. But he said to me recently, I wouldn't trade, amen, your salvation, amen, for the healing of my stomach. If I don't get healed till I get my new body, I would not trade the healing of my stomach so I could eat like other people, amen, without it bloating and hurting, amen, and souring. He said, I wouldn't trade it for your salvation for anything in this world. That's what kind of priorities we need in prayer.
Yeah.
To say that. We need to get our eyes off the physical and material. Hallelujah. Raise her.
Yes.
Amen. And look upon the fields. For they, those fields are white unto harvest. You know what white unto harvest means in a wheat field? That means you get it or you lose it. It will rot and it will not be usable if you don't go get it. When it turns white, you've got to get it right then, or it's gone, and there's no recovering of it. Souls are like that, isn't it? They're gone, and there's no recovering of it. I want my children saved. I want my grandchildren saved. I want my daughter-in-law saved. I want her, my son's father-in-law saved. I want him to know Christ before he leaves this world, because he's going somewhere. Forever. Praise God. This is God's business. Father, I just come to you tonight. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, for more compassion in my heart. I'm asking you, Lord, to help me be a better steward of my time. I'm asking you, Lord, to pray through me. Oh God, Holy Spirit, come and intercede through me. Father, I pray that this church will become passionate in prayer. That we will not be satisfied with. I go to churches that put on big programs and I'm not happy when I leave. The program doesn't move me. The program doesn't satisfy me. I don't go to church to be entertained by the choir or the organist or even the preacher. I go to worship the true and the living God.
Yes, Lord.
I go to bow before Him.
Yes, Lord.
I go to seek His face, not just His favor. I go for cleansing through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I go for that fire that burns out the dross in me.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. I don't want to get out at 12 o'clock sharp so I can get in the restroom and beat my belly. I want to be where God is in control, where God has a chance to challenge me and change me. I don't want to sit in a passionless Bible study of I'm right and you're wrong. Looky here, it's in the Word. It's dead. It's dead religion. Even though it's God's truth, it's still dead religion. The Bible study is just so we can argue. And while people are putting up their arguments, souls are being lost and damned.
Jesus.
People looking for a hero in America. People looking for a politician to solve what sin has done to this nation. If we can get that guy, if we can get that gal, if we can get this party. No! Sin has caused the problem.
Amen.
And only repentance can solve it.
Amen.
We sinned against your holy God. We've made silver and gold our God. We've bowed to the idols of materialism. We preach more about the silver and gold of this old passing world than do we do the priceless blood of Jesus Christ. Not one tear falls from the eye of the preacher. The only thing he gets excited about is the money. My souls are going to hell and he don't care. Send your check. Let me buy something else to indulge myself. My house isn't big enough. I don't have enough airplanes. My car doesn't give me enough status. I need more than a Cadillac, more than a Mercedes. I need a Bentley. I need a Rolls Royce. Oh, shalom, I need it. They may see me, they see a dollar sign, they don't see a soul. Gentiles. We want the riches of Jesus Christ. Their silver will not deliver them. Their gold will not deliver them. Their status will not deliver them. Can you say amen? Kula Marosha, Sandana Makila, Nandana Marosha, Nakita, Salamarite, Iki, Rosha, Landa, Nandana Mahosandana Makila. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, we praise you, we need you, we're desperate for you. Visit our church, visit our church, visit our church, visit our church, visit our church. Our kids are lost, our grandkids are lost, many of us, they're lost, they're lost. Do you understand what lost means? The word of God. They have no time for the worship of God. Get them in church with video machines. Get them in church with vague lyrics from a bunch of hard rockers on the platform. They don't know nothing about holiness. They don't know nothing about a holy God. We entertain them and have a head count and say, look at our youth group. While the sexual promiscuity among Christian kids is the exact same now as it is in the world. And the divorce rate among Christian couples is the exact same as it is in the world. And all the preacher can tell you is that you need a better car. No, I need my children saved. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm sorry. You're right. I need my kids saved. Yes. I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want them to be lost. Let me tell you. I don't need a bigger house. I can make you save my kids. I bet my daddy didn't pray for his belly. Save my son! Save my son! And that's why I'm here instead of the bar. That's why I'm here instead of the brothel. That's why I'm here tonight. Somebody save my soul before you're more than self-indulgence.
Yes.
Oh, God.
whole world and give me Jesus.
Yes.
We used to mean it from their heart. There's nothing more important than salvation.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, when we pray for those politicians, that spirit of confusion, that spirit of hatred, that spirit of variance in Washington, oh God, God, without you, look what a mess, look what a mess. Is under the curse because we don't give heed to God. We don't give Him the time of day. We don't obey Him. He said, you shall borrow from many nations and you shall not lend, and you will be the tail and not the head. That's where we're headed. That's where we are. But all we need is the wealth of the Gentiles. All we need is a bigger house and a better car and a diamond ring and a Rolex. No! We need, amen, a revival of repentance so God can restore the blessing to this nation. My fellow preachers don't understand me. They look at me strange. Amen. Because I get passionate about these issues. Amen. And when dispassionate people see someone passionate, amen, they don't understand it. They don't get it. They get perfectly happy. Treasury, and I lived in a 4-bedroom house, and I drove a brand new Lincoln Town Car. I'm telling you, without revival, I would not be happy tonight. No, you're not an asset to someone's building their empire, their religious empire tonight. You are a living soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere forever. And somebody needs to see you like Jesus saw those people. You're a soul in desperate need of a shepherd.
Amen.
Because without a shepherd, you're lost. Without a shepherd, you're damned. Without a shepherd, you're destroyed. And Jesus said, I can't stand it.
Thank you, Father.
That word, compassion, means having the bowels to yearn over. It was anguish, can you say, amen? Hallelujah. And it was the anguish over lost souls that caused him in love to hang on that cross.
Thank you, Father.
Yes. Save my sons. Hallelujah. Let the Gentiles keep their money. Save my sons. How did you hear me tonight? Let them keep their riches. Save my children. How can I enjoy a brand new truck and my kids in hell? How can you bear it? You know it's the truth. How can our eyes stay dry? How can we be happy with it like this? People think, well, Brother Venable's discouraged. No, I'm not. I'm passionate.
Amen.
Son of a discouraged means let it go. Let them And I saw them bring a body out on the gurney and put it in that hearse. I didn't say there goes a dead body. There goes a dead mind, dead man. I said there goes a soul. Not in that body. The soul's already gone. A soul has went somewhere. A soul that's going to stay where it goes throughout all eternity. Oh, I believe God, hallelujah, wants to do this. I believe He yearns for it. I know He wants it worse than we want it. Can you say that? Because He sees people as living souls headed somewhere forever. Can you say that? That man that they were going to hang said, if I believe what you're saying, if I believe what you're saying, this professional clergyman with his little prayer book, amen, going to say something over him before he dies, this compassionate heart doing his job for a fee. He said, if I believe there was an eternity of torment for the lost and there was hope for them if they turned to Christ, if England were made out of, the whole of England was made out of shards of shattered glass, I would crawl on my hands and knees until the blood run and the bones stuck through to tell one man about Jesus. Amen. But he didn't believe it could possibly be true from a dispassionate preacher. Can you say amen? He just couldn't believe that they could talk about something that vital and be that dispassionate, that mundane, that professional. So to make up for our lack of passion, we just don't talk about eternal faith. We don't talk about heaven or hell. We just talk about self-indulgence for our own weak flesh.
Yes, Lord.
That's so indulged, there's no heart and no room for God to live. Our flesh, you make no mistake about it, yours and mine, does love pleasure more than it loves God. Amen. My flesh loves pleasure, not prayer. My flesh would spend time and energy and money in pleasure, but can't find the time or the energy, and certainly no money, for the work of the kingdom of God. But we're supposed to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need a revival ourselves. This is not just for the world.
Amen.
It's for me, it's for you.
Yes, Lord.
Can you say that?
Yes, Lord.
I'm not
thinking yes,
on anybody. I'm talking about me here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm already standing out. I'm already getting the snickers when I go on my rant, my roll. Because people don't understand, amen, that I'm beginning to see people like Jesus saw. And I can't just sit there and drink my coffee and eat my biscuits and gravy and figure out some way to get more heads in the building and more money in the treasury and more time to do my thing. God wants to send revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those of you that came to Christ in the Holy Church of God, you came to Jesus because we came there with a sense of purpose, and somebody cared for your soul and agonized over the loss that would come into that building. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And a preacher that was green as grass saw people coming to Jesus because that mighty work of the Holy Ghost honors that kind of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you that we're sin, but that thou still grace us for. I thank you for mercy that's new every morning. I thank you for a God that wants to intervene. I thank you for a God that wants to convict. I thank you for a God that wants to draw men and women, boys and girls unto himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalabaru Shadda. Shalabakita. And I thank God for this congregation. Came here tonight not to be entertained, but to intercede. To be even be convicted if necessary. But to be changed. Because if you can change us, you can move through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He can't live here. I tell you, he's going to come here. You're either going to have to get in or you're going to have to get out. But you can't stay neutral when God begins to move like this. You're going to have to, listen, a line is being drawn as sure as I'm standing here tonight. A question is being raised. Who is on the Lord's side among you? If you want God on your side in the day of trouble, if you want God on your side when you need a miracle, if you want God to help you when no one else can help you, take your stand for Him now.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Whatever the cost, I'd rather have God on my side than to have the riches of this world.
Amen.
I'd rather have God on my side than to have the applause of men.
Amen.
I'd rather have God on my side than have everybody hug my neck when I was at work. Hallelujah,
yes.
Hallelujah. That can't help me on my deathbed. That can't help me if I need a miracle. But God can.
Yes, He can.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His anguish was here last week before I ever discovered this little snippet. It was here the week before that. And some of you looked at me strange, but you're not looking at me strange tonight because you're feeling it too. How can you say that? Hallelujah. I feel like we've touched heaven, touched the throne of God, laid hold of the horns of the altar. Hallelujah. 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 Did you know men of God, men of passion and compassion are passing away? The baton is being passed, Brother Tate. Hell of a roshana. Hallelujah. Moody's gone. Whitfield's gone. Spurgeon is gone. One by one, they've run their course. They've finished their course. There's a new generation being raised up. Hallelujah. They don't know what real revival even looks like in America. If there's no hope of for the sake of preaching. I can't stand to watch it. I can't stand to see the altars empty. Service after service after service after service after service after service after service. No conviction. Hearts cold and calloused over. Not right with God and not a desire to get right with God. And while we're sitting back feeding our flesh, the clock is ticking on our time. Not one person in this room has a lease on tomorrow. And if you drop dead tonight, you're going to have to answer to God. Can you say amen? If I drop dead tonight, know that I will stand before God. Concerning my time, Brother Taylor. God will require of me whether I interceded or not. God will require of me whether I have my first love burning or whether I've let it go out of neglect. Stir us, O God. Stir us, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why is God moving in Bolivia, Argentina, Brazil, the Arctic, and Africa? We're hungry for miracles, but we're not hungry for God. They're hungry for God, and God is showing them His glory and giving them miracles. We're hungry for healing, they're hungry for Him, and they're getting healed. I have a reputation that I make jokes about too, and I'm ridiculed for my passion. Because I forget the time, I forget your schedules. I thought the Lord's day was the Lord's day. Excuse me, I really thought it was God's day. I didn't know it was a little corner for God and the rest for y'all. I thought me and you, I thought it was God's day, 100%. I thought it was a Sabbath unto the Lord, amen, that the church had set and kept for 2,000 years. To say we're different from the world. We honor our God. Can you say amen? And I got to thinking about what my ridicule is for. Even my fellow ministers. Ridicule for passion.
Thank you, Lord.
Brother Taylor, I will take the hits. I'll continue to take it.
Thank you.
It's worth it. You're going to understand me better after this night. Praise God. Hallelujah. We might even get in one mind and one accord. We might share a vision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I slept 2 hours last night because of circumstances. I didn't sleep this afternoon because I prepared for tonight. My body wanted to lay down and just go to sleep. But I want to see God move, Sister Mabel. I'll rest tomorrow. Tomorrow used to be my Monday on my job, and I used to go to work fatigued, but the joy of the Lord became my strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know the joy of the Lord will be my strength tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's. That children shall be brought into my kingdom. When my church travails in prayer, there shall be birth. You will feel the birth pains, but when you see the children, you will forgive them, saith God, and your mourning shall turn to dancing, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.